Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac, whereas the devotees of the Lord are always fortunate because they are always ready to follow the orders of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, in his various incarnations, he performs two functions: saving the devotee and vanquishing the demon. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Lord Nrisimhadeva, for example, appeared for the protection of his devotee. Such pastimes as those of Nrisimhadeva are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees. But nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the following prayer, requests the Lord to give up his anger. Hare Krishna. After the Supreme Lord, Sri Narasimhadeva, killed Hiranyakashipu, his anger had still not subsided. And such anger, the likes of which the multitude of universes would never have seen before. In fact, Narasimhadeva is the very personification of the Lord's anger. When the Lord wants to display anger and to show what anger is really like, then he demonstrates that in the form of Narasimhadeva. Of course, Lord Narasimhadeva is also very kind and loving, and his anger in the first place is because of his love for his devotee. So devotees like Prahlad are not afraid of Narasimhadeva's fearsome form, but the demigods were afraid, which means that Prahlad was better situated than the demigods. Prabhupada explains in the purport that even though the Lord's fearsome form is not meant to create fear in the hearts of the devotees, nevertheless, because the devotees are simple by nature and faithful, even the demigods, headed by Brahma, became a little afraid. Not a little, quite afraid. And they were hesitant to go forward to pacify the Lord. And ultimately they had to request Prahlad. Prahlad fearlessly stepped forward. And as soon as Lord Narasimhadev saw Prahlad, he became pacified. And he placed his hands, his lotus hands, on Prahlad's head. Prahlad began to offer wonderful prayers to pacify the Lord. And here, he is speaking on behalf of the demigods. He is trying to praise the demigods and trying to invoke the mercy of the Lord on the demigods. And also, in a self-deprecating way that is typical of devotees, he derides his own low birth and contrasts it with that of the exalted status of the demigods. And he says, who am I? I'm just a demon. I'm born in a demon's family. And these demigods, they are so exalted. So I am so unfortunate. Just see the difference between us. And these demigods, they are standing in front of you. They are also begging your mercy. Because they are also your sincere devotees. The word used here is vidhikaraha, executors of orders. So they are the servants of the Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has classified the different types of servants of the Lord into different categories. Quite an interesting classification. He says there are, broadly speaking, two categories of servants. Those who serve in sambhrama priti, which means out of awe and reverence in deep affection. And there are those who serve in gaurava priti, which means out of a sense of deep respect. There is also love, but there is a greater distance. Sometimes in that love there may also be a sense of possessiveness, but still there is a distance. In the second category, Rupa Goswami gives examples like the sons of Krishna in Dwarka, like Pradyumna and so on. Pradyumna would never look at his father in the face when he spoke. This is actually a Vedic culture, that when you respect someone, you don't look the person in the eye. Of course, these are things that are very rare to find nowadays. And he would look down at Krishna's feet. So much so that Krishna would tell him sometimes, my dear boy, please look up at me. Don't be afraid of me. And Pradyumna was no sissy. He was a brave warrior. He was fierce as they come in the battlefield. But when it came to standing in front of Krishna, he was very respectful. So this is the Gaurava Preeti, and in the Sambharma Preeti section, where there is awe and reverence, because that is what the mood or mellow of servitude is all about, there are different categories. One category, Rupa Goswami says, is called the Adhikrit Das, or the appointed servants. And these appointed servants have specific tasks to perform within this material world. And these are the demigods, like Brahma, Indra, Durga, and so on. So they serve the Lord in the mellow of servitude, dasiras. Then also there are the ashrita das, those who are surrendered servants of the Lord. There are various subcategories, we won't go into that. But examples of the surrendered servants of the Lord are, interestingly enough, Kaliya, that is after he was subdued. Then there are the sages at Naimisharanya headed by Shaunaka. And then there are others like Shrutadeva and Bahulashva from the Krishna book. So that is the Ashrita Dasa. They are surrendered servants of the Lord. They are dependent on him for their protection. Then there are those who are called the Parishad Das, who are very close to the Lord, and they are there with him. In Dwarka, you have devotees like Uddhava, Daruka, Satyaki, and so on. In Hastinapur, you have servants like Bhishma, Vidura, Parikshit. They're all servants of the Lord in this particular type of mellow, sub-mellow. Then, finally, there are the Anugadasas, who are constantly with the Lord and follow the Lord. Anuga means one who follows the Lord. They constantly follow the Lord and they are with him all the time and they serve him very nicely. And especially in Vrindavan you find, anyone knows the names of the servants of Krishna in Vrindavan? Chitraka, Raktaka, Patraka, Patri. These are some of the servants. So Rupa Goswami classifies the various categories of servants of the Lord like this. So the demigods are one category of these. So they are not ordinary beings. They have been specially appointed to such exalted positions in the universal administration by Krishna himself. That is what the word adhikrita means, authorized or appointed. As since they have been personally appointed by the Lord, offense to the demigods implies offense to the Lord. Of course, when we first become devotees, we are in the phase of demigod bashing, isn't it? We say, you know, because we want to strengthen our faith that it is Krishna and not the demigods who are supreme. So we overreach and sometimes we may criticize the demigods in ways that are not good. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that one of the offenses is to offend the demigods. We should be very respectful to the demigods, understanding that they are also great devotees. They have been personally appointed to such exalted positions by the Lord himself. One sannyasi was one time giving a class about the Govardhan Leela, and naturally when you speak about the Govardhan Leela, you don't speak about Indra in a very good light. So anyway, he did the needful. He spoke like that about Indra. And then after the class, he was mentioning that, you know, I spoke something ill about Indra, but that was the pastime. So I'm a little afraid. He was joking, of course. I'm a little afraid. In case I don't make it back to Godhead in this life, then I'll have to go. Indra will become my next temple president. So I should be really careful. Because one who doesn't complete his devotional service in this life then probably gets birth in the higher planets, then we come back again to be born here in an exalted family. So in any case, the point is that we should offer our respects to the demigods. Many times devotees ask questions that when we pass by the temples of demigods, should we offer respect? Should we offer obeisances? Well, why not? We should offer obeisances, but we do it with the understanding that they are not the Supreme Lord, that they are the dear servants of Krishna, and he has appointed them for this service. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, my dear Lord, these demigods who are standing in front of you in fear, they're not like us, they're exalted. Me and my father, we are low-born demons. But look at them. And they're standing there in great fear. Please have mercy upon them. My Lord, you appear in this fearsome form for your own pleasure. Atma Sukhaya. There are many reasons why the Lord appears in this world. We know the popularly known reasons. He comes to save the devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. He comes to destroy the miscreants, vinashaya cha duskritam. He comes to establish the principles of religion, dharma sansthapanarthaya. And here is another interesting reason why the Lord comes in different forms. Atma sukhaya, for his own pleasure. Who can question the Lord for what pleases him and what doesn't please him? He is also an individual who has likes and dislikes. He has desires. He has his own pleasure. And he is perfect in the search for his own unending pleasure. So out of his own pleasure, he performs so many pastimes, so many activities. So one of the reasons for the Lord appearing in different forms is also his own pleasure. Prahlad goes on to say that such incarnations also serve the function of protection and improvement of the universe. Prahlad is making an important point here. Even though he is such a pure devotee of the Lord, he considers himself lowly because of his external circumstances. Similarly, as devotees, there may be the tendency for us to think ourselves better than the non-devotees, or perhaps better than some other devotees. So as devotees, we have to guard against that. Yes, the devotees are better than the non-devotees in the sense that they have taken shelter of Krishna, and they will eventually attain perfection. But individually as devotees, it is always safer and correct for us to understand that we are not special. We have received the mercy of Krishna, but we shouldn't become proud thinking we are better than the non-devotees. That would not be good. We should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad. Sometimes when someone is born in a high family, then there is a tendency to become proud. And such was the case with a very learned Brahmana called Devananda Pandit. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Vakreshwar Pandit. So let me connect this up with Vakreshwar Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a Smartha Brahmana. Smartha means he was ritualistic. He was very austere. He had controlled his senses. And right from childhood, he had no interest in any form of sense gratification. All he did was to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. But nevertheless, he was not a devotee. He had not taken shelter of the devotees, and therefore he didn't really understand the true purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one time, Srivas Thakur happened to pass by the place where Devananda Pandit was discoursing on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He sat there, and he was so absorbed in the narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he developed ecstatic symptoms. And those ecstatic symptoms became visible, and he began to cry and so on. And the students of Devananda Pandit considered this a disturbance, and they physically lifted him and placed him outside the assembly. And Devananda Pandit at that time did not object. There is a saying in Sanskrit, Maunam Sammati Lakshanam. Silence is an indication of agreement. So if something is going on that is wrong, and I'm standing there and just watching and I don't say anything, that means I approve of it. So Devananda Pandit was implicated in that grave offense against Srivas Pandit. And because of that, Mahaprabhu was extremely displeased with him. Soon after this incident, Mahaprabhu was passing by Devananda Pandit's house, and he spoke out very loudly. And he said that there are some people who dare to read Srimad Bhagavatam even though they are not devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the exclusive prerogative of the surrendered devotees, the Sharanagata Bhaktas. Others can never understand what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. The book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat are not different. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually severely rebuked Devananda Pandit for his offense. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur has mentioned how Mahaprabhu at one time was speaking about this point, and he said that for anyone who has committed an offense against devotees, he should drink in nectar through the same mouth through which he has drunk poison. When one drinks in poison, then the antidote for that is to take nectar through the same mouth. Then the nectar destroys the poison and then makes the body immortal. Similarly, if one has offended devotees with this mouth, then with the same mouth one must glorify those devotees. And then one becomes absolved of those offenses. So Mahaprabhu was speaking like this, and then he passed by. Now it so happened that by some great fortune, Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come and stay with Devananda Pandit. And Devananda Pandit rendered a lot of menial service to Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is best known, of course, for his dancing. In Kavi Karnapur's famous book, The Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, it is mentioned that he is Aniruddha of the Chaturviha, the four-handed form of the Lord. And also the gopi Shashi Rekha has entered into him. So he is an eternal associate of the Lord. And Kavi Karnapur also mentions that one time Vakreshwar Pandit sweetly mentioned to Mahaprabhu that please give me 1,000 Gandharvas so I can dance. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Vakreshwar Pandit one time danced continuously in Kirtan for 72 hours, non-stop. And he told Mahaprabhu that please give me a benediction that I can keep on dancing. Please send me 10,000 singers so I can go on dancing in Kirtan. So Vakreshwar was a personification practically of dance in Kirtan. He was present also in the Kirtan, the nocturnal Kirtan sessions in the house of Srivas Thakur in Navadvip. So, being such an exalted devotee and associate of Mahaprabhu, Devananda Pandit derived great good fortune by serving him. And because he served Vakreshwar Pandit very intimately, he received shelter at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, despite his having committed a grave offense at the feet of Srivas Thakur. When Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing one time, there were crowds milling around him, and Devananda Pandit went there and actually guarded Vakreshwar Pandit. With his open arms, he prevented people from coming too close to Vakreshwar Pandit. So because of such service rendered to the Lord's eternal associate, he actually developed faith in the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I beg your pardon, explains that even though he was such a great scholar of the Bhagavatam, he had so many good qualities, but he had no faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But now that he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, he attained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Mahaprabhu accepted him as his own and said that actually you committed such a grave offense against Srivas Thakur, but because you served Vakreshwar Pandit, therefore you are absolved of this offense. Vakreshwar Pandit is the very energy of the Lord, and anyone who serves him or even speaks one good word about him will attain Krishna. Krishna resides always in the heart of Vakreshwar Pandit, and in fact, Krishna dances just so that Vakreshwar Pandit can dance. So today you have attained perfection because you have served Vakreshwar Pandit. So such are the glories of Vakreshwar Pandit. He had a famous disciple. Anyone knows his name? Vakreshwar Pandit's famous disciple, Gopal Guru Goswami, who was himself, he was many, many wonderful stories and pastimes about Gopal Guru Goswami. And Gopal Guru Goswami's son, disciple was Dhyanachandra Goswami. And actually, it is they who inherited the Radha Kanta Math It was Gopal Guru Goswami God, which is now called Gambhira, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay, Kashi Mishra's house. So the Radhakanta deities that are there were actually Gopal Guru Goswami's deities, which he handed down to Dhyanachandra. And the worship continues down to this day. So Gopal Guru Goswami was Vakreshwar Pandit's disciple. So Vakreshwar Pandit's disappearance day today, the Shukla Shashti, or the sixth day of the waxing moon in the month of Ashad. So this is a few words about Vakreshwar Pandit. What a lesson for all of us that as devotees, we can always remain in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. That yes, we are devotees, but we have so many disqualifications, and nevertheless it is only the mercy of the Lord and the devotees upon us that is saving us and keeping us fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna.